Y'all ready for this?
How was it, Evan? Oh, they're jamming up in here. Soul Tape Champions Live. Got Salt and Peppers here. Got Marco up on her seat for a moment. That's all right. Hold it down, girlfriend. Ain't that kind of party? Ain't that kind of party?
Wait, hold on.
Well, look, when we clean up this NFL stuff, we do need to. I've been one to say for quite some time that I don't have an issue with Le'Veon Bell. My contention is, and it's been bore out through Shazier, you are one snap away from ever playing football again. You got to go get all the money you can get when you can get it every dime. And if they're offering you $100 million, whoever's offering you $100 million got 10 times that amount in the bank. And that's the bank we know about. We don't know about the bank that got hidden. But you better go get all the money you can get. And I bet you this, I bet you they don't trade him. I bet you he don't get traded. I bet you he gets paid. So Le'Veon Bell, what's your opinion?
Le'Veon Bell. So this week he actually came out and said he was optimistic about signing with the Steelers, a long-term deal. Now he has, or the team has, until July 16th to actually put a deal together, or he'll play on the franchise tag. So he definitely should get paid, but we get to the point where you have to ask the question, how much? I mean, I wouldn't pay him Ben Roethlisberger money. I wouldn't pay him Antonio Brown's amount of money, $18 to $20 million a year. However, he'll make $14.5 million if he takes the franchise tag alone. So I think they're probably working in between that number, $14 million to $18 million. And he sounds optimistic. The Steelers sound optimistic, and me as a fan, I hope that he does sign a long-term deal.
And the fan base should not be dismayed. That's bartering at his highest level. They're going to fall in the middle on it. He's going to get paid. And moreover, not only does he not want to come to training camp, which all this is part of,
right?
He don't need to come to training camp. He doesn't. When you have a guy as valuable as him, there are certain players that can afford to skip training camp. Now, I don't know what the NFL union rules are about whether you can be. I think you can't be there if you're not in the contract and those kind of things. But Le'Veon Bell is one of those cats. He ain't got to be there because he's going to do what he does. He's unique. He's special. But I want to go to this for you, Cheryl, because you go ahead and comment on that. Mm-hmm. But I want you to follow up too with, since you made comment about Big Ben. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Ben sticking around two more years? And now, at first he said he's going to retire, and then he said because the wife
and
kids.
Let's hit Bell first.
But I'm going to let her comment on Bell, but I want your follow-up on Ben.
Let me preface with this. To me, the Steelers should have drafted a quarterback 2-3 drafts ago. They rely too heavily on Ben. Okay, Ben is getting older. He's had a lot of damage done to his body. You never know when that's going to sneak up on you. One hit, and it could take him back to his motorcycle accident. They have nobody prepared, in my opinion, to step into his shoes. If he stays around, I have no problem with Ben. He's a good player. I take nothing away from him. But I don't think we're ready if he goes down. Le'Veon Bell, I have – get your money. But I have two names, Antoine Randall and Mike Wallace. They thrived when they were here.
Mm-hmm.
Randall L. went after that money because he had to feed his family. He faded to black. Mike Wallace has been on, what, three teams since he left the Steelers? Does he have a ring? He went for the money. So
get
the money
sure.
isn't everything.
What about Neil O'Donnell?
Get him sure.
Going to the New York Jets.
We can go to O'Donnell. We can go to Bobby Brister. We can just go on down the line.
Get him sure.
Okay?
No argument here.
Money isn't everything. I mean, get your money if you can get it. But don't mess up your game going after the money. Don't mess up your future or potential ring chasing that money, because you'll fade to black. Randall Well, look at him. He wanted to come back. I'm so glad they said no. Once you're gone, you're gone.
No, he did come back.
And he got a ring.
Randall Well came back.
Yeah, Randall got a ring.
He came back. He might have played 1 year when he came back.
From D.C.?
From Washington.
He did come back, yes.
Oh, I must have slept that year. Because I don't remember him coming back.
He probably came back and was on the bench or something.
Maybe
that's what.
Maybe he got a bench ring.
Look.
So, Francine, the question to you about Le'Veon, you're feeling, you're a money lady. You deal with money each and every day. So your attitude about Le'Veon Bell getting paid and should he? And as a season ticket holder, are you annoyed or frustrated about this ongoing battle with Le'Veon?
I'm not, because I know that they will come to terms. I feel like the Steelers are one of the best families because I think they treat their players well. So I think with Le'Veon Bell, and is he French with that name? But okay, I guess sidetracked.
No, girl, you know that's one of our names.
I got sidetracked.
You know that's one of our names.
And talking about treating the players well, it was pretty amazing what the Steelers did. And we talked about this a month ago when they decided to pay Ryan Shazier.
Yes. Right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
See, and that's why I'm not frustrated. My frustration comes, again, being at the games when we lose ones we should win. And, again, we got to learn how to get past New England. We got to learn how to get past the tough games. So with Ben, I want Ben to stay as long as he is effective. I want Ben to stay. I'm a Ben fan. I'm, again, like Margo said, I'm a Steeler fan. Kevin and I, we actually travel out of town to see games. And when you go, you feel like you're home. The fan base all across this country is phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, when we went to the San Diego game about 2-3 years ago, when we went to that game, you would have thought we were here on the north
home
side.
Game.
It's like a home game.
It's like that in a lot of stadiums.
For me, I want the Steelers to do the best by their players. I do want the players to get paid because, again, you just never know how long they're going to be able to play this game. But like Cheryl said, you got to look at the big picture because a lot of those players have left and they've just fizzled out.
Well, you know, the Steelers have a pretty good track record on knowing who and when to let go. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you don't see a fight going on for a player, it's because they know.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been 100%, but they have a pretty good track record on who to let go and when and why.
And let me say this. I guess I'm known for making predictions, Bill.
Where at?
On this show.
Oh, here.
And being right most of the time. Okay. Ben Roethlisberger has 2 years left on his contract. I do not believe that he'll get another contract. And I love Big Ben. I love him. But we just drafted Mason Rudolph, and I believe he's good. The real deal.
He looks good.
The Steelers have to deal with the salary cap. They have a lot of money tied up at that position. Long-range plans, 3-year plan, is to get Ben off of the payroll and start to spend more money on the defensive side of the ball. So that's why I feel Ben will only play 2 to 3 more years. Let me say that.
And I think that's fair. I think that's an accurate prediction. I think Ben's objective is to get one more ring to super solidify his first-round induction into the Hall of Fame. He's going in, but that assures him first ballot induction.
I thought I won you over already, Bill. We talked about this.
Well, if
he wins one more ring – he wants to win another one, right? To tie Terry Bradshaw. Well, he doesn't want to leave that.
And what
on
I was
table.
About to offer was that if he does that, it's going to be hard to meet your prediction. If he does win another ring, it's going to be hard to send him moving along.
If we went back to back.
Well, it remains to be seen. Those things are to be considered.
Okay.
But I want to kick this off and go around the horn.
What you got? I have something to throw in.
Well, you can throw it in. You can
y'all might not know about.
Go ahead.
Okay, so
throw it in
did
there.
You see this today on ESPN? The players voted on the top players in the NFL.
Top 100.
And I don't want to say it out loud. TB12 was number one. And Antonio Brown was number two. And Carson Wentz was number three.
Tom Brady.
And
Bell was number five.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Bell was number five.
Yes.
And Ben Roethlisberger is number 16.
Was he 16?
He's number 16.
And but AB, number two. That was awesome. I thought that was a good.
And there's no way Carson Wentz is number three.
So well, I'm not this sure is the player's opinion.
Happened. It is. It
not
is.
Ours. They play and they saw him up close and personal.
A whole lot of people are disagreeing with that. To have him number three. What about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
A lot of people said, he should be bumped down and move some of them other people up over top of him. But nobody disagreed with one and two.
And is he really better than Le'Veon Bell? Really? Yeah. No. Carson Wentz? Yeah. Better than Le'Veon Bell? He got hurt and they still won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, look, that I agree with. And just to offer this, you all can do and say what you want. You know, just like I will be quick to say that I am not a LeBron fan. I'm a LeBron hater, but I also say this. Mm. He's the baddest cat on the planet. Now, y'all can keep hating on Brady if you want, but Brady's a bad boy.
Well, wait a second. I got to come in. Listen,
cheat.
Well, I got to come in.
Y'all can say what you want.
I got to come in.
Tom Brady didn't get it done.
He said Brady is the baddest man on the planet, and he's hating on LeBron James.
No. I said LeBron is the baddest man on the planet, and Brady is a bad boy. And you can't argue that. I mean, if listen, for Spygate was a situation where they got caught doing what all teams do.
Yes.
They got caught doing what all teams do.
I don't want to hear that.
Well, you don't have to hear it, but the fact is,
they got caught.
So now, whether he
– don't make excuses.
Whether he deflated or inflated the balls or not, that's flat-out cheating.
He did. You know he did. Okay. Why are we giving them
a ball boy did it.
I'm just trying to be fair. Tom Brady's a bad boy, and if you think he ain't, let Ben leave and let Brady be available and see if he gets snatched up by the Steelers.
No.
You see how good
he'll
he
get,
but let me
booed.
Offer. Let
we
me
won't
ask
bring
you.
Him.
I would no longer be a Steelers fan if he ever put those colors on.
Let me ask you a question.
I got something about this.
Because since I got y'all, since I'm glad I woke you up, you was dozing off over there.
I wasn't
talking.
Let me just say this. I got one thing, Bill. I was a real Tom Brady hater. I mean, worse than you are LeBron James hater. I'm not even joking. Until a couple days ago. I'm legitimate about this. Like literally 2 days ago, I would agree with all of you. Look up Oprah's Super Soul Sunday interview with Tom Brady. You will change your mind. I'm telling you right now.
Giselle was telling him.
I'm not even.
You will change your mind.
Giselle was telling him what to
say.
Well,
what's different about that than any other marriage?
And she dressed
him. And what else? What's different?
I'm happily divorced. Well, I don't know.
As am I, but I can tell you, ain't nothing new about a wife.
I got a new opinion about TB12.
I don't like
Super
him
Soul
or
Sunday.
His wife.
Good Lord, that's a lot of hate.
I know y'all love Oprah, though.
But here's a serious question we got to get to. So your opinion about taking a knee. Each one of you, let's hear what you're feeling about the NFL players taking a knee, the whole situation. What's your feeling?
My opinion about the NFL players taking a knee, it's called freedom of speech, and every single player, coach, custodian, I don't care what you are, you have a right to do that, and there should be no one should be offended by that. I really don't get somebody being offended by somebody else using their freedom of speech. And I'm calling it freedom of speech because if it wasn't for people taking a knee metaphorically for us in the forms of protest, whether it was marching or getting hosed down by hoses in the 60s, if people didn't do that for us, we wouldn't even have the right, or excuse me, we wouldn't have the opportunity to do what we're doing right now. So I don't care what your form of protest is. If it's peaceful and your intention is your intention, somebody else can't tell me what my intention is, like the president. He can't tell NFL players what their intention is by taking a knee. Their intention is to bring awareness to situations like Antoine Rose in Pittsburgh and Philando Castile and Tamir Rice. And Sandra Bland. We can go on and on and on and on. That's the intention. So if you look at something through the perspective of those that are actually in it and not you, somebody on the outside looking in, then it's easy to say, yes, you have the right to do that. NFL and nobody else should be able to tell you what you can and cannot do with your body and with your rights.
Sure.
I totally agree with everything she just said. You know, it's amazing that he had his own form of protest sitting on the bench. There was nothing said. They didn't even notice until after he took that knee. And then another black man took the knee. And then another black man took a knee. Now they have create a narrative around it that dilutes the actual purpose for why he took that knee. And I think it's a shame that these owners are listening to that narrative. The conversation they have had with the Players Association. And I wouldn't be mad if every black player sat down through the season. There's been talk about that. I don't know if it is fact or fiction, but I wouldn't be mad about it because they are the game. Once you take that black man out of sports, you have none.
Most sports.
Hockey, okay.
Well,
golf, okay. Hockey, I said swimming, sports.
Yeah, hockey, swimming, golf, tennis. They get around.
Horse, yeah, but
and,
I mean,
race, see, you and know, to piggyback on what you said, too, his original reason for taking the knee is because a military person told him that was a way to be honorable as opposed to just sitting on the bench.
Military teammate.
And I have no problem with that because with my father being from Alabama and me experiencing segregation during the 60s, I didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance at school.
We all went through those times.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I have no problem with what they're doing. If it brings it to the conversation, but the conversation has been polluted, and of course this narrative will supersede a black man's word any day. So we're basically at stalemate.
Well, I think we all may or may not remember that. I know when I was in college in the early 70s, we didn't stand for the playing of the national anthem at basketball games. And our contention was, and our football coach didn't give us any static because the slogan at that time throughout the nation, especially for black athletes and black students, was the flag doesn't stand for us. We don't stand for it. But so we've kind of experienced
that. If I can pull back on that a little bit, as far as the national anthem in football, how long has that been?
How long has it been? I think at least 3 years.
Okay. So this wasn't even part of the game.
Oh, you're talking about going back to when they didn't play it before the game.
When they didn't play it.
Probably, okay. I'm not sure how many years.
I think they started doing that in the 80s.
In the 80s. Yeah. And the players just start coming out the locker room before the national anthem.
Right.
Yeah. So that shouldn't even be an issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be fixed that way.
It could be fixed. Stop playing it.
Yeah. It could be fixed that
way. And you know what?
And I've said that as a solution. Mm-hmm. Just stop playing
it. Stop playing
it. You know what? I support anybody's protest peacefully and their right to do it. But I actually have another take personally. I have another take on why I believe I stand for the national anthem because I'm a referee and we're sort of called to stand. And so when I stand up, I feel like black Americans in particular, because of the struggle and the fight and the things that we've gone through and our civil rights in this country, if it wasn't for us, there would be no flag. Any words and any national anthem, any Pledge of Allegiance, anything that has to do with America would not be true if we wouldn't have fought, our ancestors wouldn't have fought for our rights. So I feel like we have a right almost more than anybody to stand and own what the country is supposed to be, but not necessarily has been. So that's how I justified in my own mind when I have to stand for the national anthem as an official and as a teacher as well. I say the Pledge of Allegiance at school. That's how I justify. I'm standing for my ancestors who stood for me and died for me.
Understood.
So that's how I look at it.
I take that same perspective, but I flip it. That is a reason to not stand, in my opinion. When you look at all the verses in those songs and all the verses in that allegiance, it doesn't pertain to us. Okay, so.
Well, it wasn't written for us.
It wasn't written for us.
But it pertains to us now as Americans.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Well, you know.
Let me cut both of you off so that I can get Francine's opinion on the subject matter.
Three-fifths.
Well, I have a little bit of a difference of opinion. First of all, I do feel like the message has gotten lost.
Has been changed.
Because of President Trump and others who don't want to really acknowledge what the issues are. Okay, so the knee was taken because of all the violence against African Americans and other minorities. But when you talk to the average person, all they see is that they feel that the black players are being disrespectful to the flag. Now, as a business owner, would I want someone in my business to protest on site during work hours? Absolutely not. And so in one perspective, the players are doing that during their workday.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about that as an employer, I wouldn't allow that, right?
Makes sense.
But on the bigger scale, the reason why they're doing it, I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm torn because when you have a platform, you got to take advantage of that platform. Exactly. So if they weren't African-American football players, multi-million dollar men, and they didn't have a platform, we wouldn't have gotten this national attention.
We wouldn't
attention.
Even know about it.
So
yep.
Should they have done the protests at 8 o'clock at night when the game is off, it wouldn't have the same significance. Exactly. So that's why I'm torn. I agree with why they're protesting. I'm saddened that people are twisting the truth behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But something definitely has to change.
And while you have the microphone, because you brought up another issue, I just want to get a real quick, I'm coming, Kev, just a real quick response from each of you about Trump and his relationship to the subject matter. Trump in general and his relationship to his comments infuriating the players for taking the knee.
Well, first of all, I will say with Trump, I'm still in shock that he even won. You know, so I'm in shock that he won, but we all know why he won. The Russian collusion and all that. And with Trump, you know, when we had President Obama, and I'm looking at his picture here that Trav has, you had the highest integrity and you had no drama Obama. You just had somebody in First Lady Michelle Obama who just were at the highest level and you felt proud to be American, proud as that African-American man being the president. This one right here, Trump, they have done a study on him of how much he's lied since he's come into office, and it's unprecedented. Yes. So yes. I have no respect for him, and he loves to fuel hate and dissension among us, and that's what he's doing with the players.
And this
you know, anytime you can call a grown man a professional, an MF-er, what is that? Who does that?
Go ahead, Cheryl, your comment.
Well, I don't even give the man, sorry, I don't even acknowledge him. His name, his title.
You're like Whoopi.
Well, no, I'm like Cheryl.
Well, but Whoopi Goldberg won't mention his name.
No, and I never have. We knew who he was. Okay? The people that were around me, there was big debate, and I was a big advocate for spreading that word before the election. We knew who he was back in the 80s. You know, they knew who he was. He was shady then. He was a shyster then. He was a bigot then. He was a racist then. And nothing has changed. He just perfected his craft. And as Francine said, it was the collusion. For 17, 18 professional politicians on that podium to dwindle down to him, there's a lot of blackmail going on, in my opinion. But I just think that he was wrong. Someone should have sat him down the day he called them SOBs. Mm-hmm. No one has ever held him accountable, and it's only going to get worse from here.
Well, I tell you this. While Margot makes her adjustments for the last set, I had to sneak her in here and trick her to stay a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But NBA is coming up next, so I know you ain't leaving. But, Margot, your comments before we take this break on Trump. And I know this falls into you. You all may not know. Margot is a poet, a rapper, a songwriter. She's got a multiple skill
spin
set.
Spin
oh, okay. That's what. Go ahead. Spin go
it.
Ahead. I didn't know that's what you were doing.
Well, I'm just gonna say this. I did watch The Apprentice, so that's the extent of my Trump support was The Apprentice. Now I'm just trying to recover, like you said, from the shock and awe.
Truth be told,
of
I
the
watched
situation
the too, to be
that
honest.
We're
I
in.
Watched it.
I felt like he should have stayed in the apprentice role. But I did, right on the day of the election, I wrote this a few days before, but I wrote a poem called Trump You a couple of days before the election. And then on that day, I actually posted it, and tons of people sort of liked it.
Well, go ahead.
Other people voted for President Trump, so... No, I'm not going to really, no, it's real long. I'll give you a little piece. It goes, Trump, you, he punked you from the apprentice to the Oval Office view. schemed his way through, taken seriously by a few. Not one credential to be presidential seems essential, but in this world, we live on potential. That's that static state, so we wait and waited while Trump captivated a population of haters, nation crusaders, evangelical persuaders. Trump had no shot, so the GOP thought. Didn't take him serious. His rant seemed delirious. He had no chance, didn't like his stance on anything. So they ignored his belligerence, too intense for the masses, till he got their vote and crashed it. The conservative party majority forced to deal with his claims of superiority. Complex situation meant to divide this nation, which by our estimation has always been split by race and pay position. Trump flipped the script, made racism hip again from his lip and from within. Anti-women and religion, build that wall, don't let them in, they Mexican. Religious animosity, his philosophy. Folks lined up for the Trump-style president. Primaries came and went. The uneducated, the wealthy, and David Duke made it. My guess, Obama too educated, too elevated. According to Trump, birth certificate not validated. Congressional hypocrisy, Congress, you lied to me. Voted to make a difference, you need repentance. Your only significance was to stop progress. Yes, but I digress. Back to Trump's political prowess. Oh yeah, you called him a joke. Said you never vote for a Trump ticket. Now you know where you can stick. I mean, in political correct terms, quit it. Just quit it. With the lies and denies, justified whys. Yeah, Donald Trump is the best you have to offer, and America's down for the slaughter. Why bother when millions of Trump supporters lockstep with their forefathers who believed in white supremacy and all others' inferiority? In 2016, if you haven't heard, we'll get what we deserve. If Trump wins, we get to begin again, learn the lesson of the Native American and slavery sin. Suggestion, history is no mystery. When it repeats itself, it's misery, but not just for the least of these, but for the red, the white, and the blue, for you and for me. And so learn the lesson, value your vote, Obama try, change and hope. Make America great again, Trump's quote. Repeat the sin of history with the Trump win. So I end where I begin. Before you cast your vote, simply look within. So there was more.
Yes. Yes.
I need a copy of that.
Yes. No.
I want a copy of that. That needs to be. That needs to be. You know what?
Well done.
We're gonna put that in the courier. I'm gonna get that published in the courier, girl. That's
no. Do not get that published in the courier.
Well, I'm telling you, it'll go national. You own it. You own it. Trademark it.
Nowhere.
You need the trademark it. Yeah, you need the trademark.
Look, there's more. I think I followed up after he won.
Well, look, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We're good.
We tricked Margo into staying all night with us. So now I know she ain't leaving because we're about to talk about LeBron.
Yes.
We'll come back for one last segment, wrap it up with the lovely ladies in here. Ladies are holding their own, fellas.
The ladies are
holding their own up in here.
That's why we're here.
And we almost went to blows once or twice.
Say what he doing.
And you know what Cheryl thinks? Cheryl thinks because I never hit a woman before, I won't knock her out. When we come back, we'll find out. Because Cheryl said...
He must know how to sign.
Cheryl said she climbed trees, so I guess she figured she'd climb up on me.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor.
Down, do your dance, do your dance.
Do the Cupid chain.
Down, do your dance, do your dance.
Come on.
Down, do your dance, do your dance.
We got a brand new dance.
Down, do your dance, do your dance.
New style.
Down, do your dance.
We got a brand new dance.
Down, do your dance.
Let me take you. Let me take everybody to the lounge on Verona Road where they do the Cupid Shuffle and it's all that. And listen, we've been getting it on in here tonight with Ladies Night. Kev, I would say rarely do you come up with a really good idea, but you knocked it out the park with this one.
Wow,
Ladies
thanks,
Night
Bill.
Has been
thank you. Thank
a
you.
Big success. Now, all we got to do next time is get three other women in here, because I don't want to see these three again.
Wow. Starting trouble, man.
No,
we'll
saying,
be back next week.
We now know where you hang, and I know exactly where that is.
Oh, well, I'll be in there. I've been in there on a Friday night, and let me just tell you this. I will get a party started, and I will stop it. Now, don't get it twisted. I can still, and I ain't got but one good knee left, Cheryl. I can go. Look, we got to get to the hard and core stuff now. Rumor has it, well, it could be a rumor, but LeBron's wife said it was so.
Uh-oh.
In a matter of speaking, not really having said it,
but suggested.
Now, Bill.
They're going to L.A., man.
Bill.
LeBron's going to L.A. Number one, he's leaving Cleveland if he don't go nowhere but Tallahassee. He's leaving Cleveland, number one. Number two, he's going to the Lakers. Number three, Margo, if LeBron goes to the Lakers,
wow,
I got to change all my stripes.
I know.
I got to get my closet
straight. I have to finally accept greatness.
And before you do that, how dare you not get my comments on the NFL anthem situation.
Wait.
Just passed me right over. I just sat here quietly and listened to everyone.
I thought it was for the ladies, but go ahead. I didn't offer any either.
It's for everyone. It's for everyone. Good points made, but hey, I don't believe that any person should go into another man's workplace or a woman's workplace.
Well, this is why I remember why I ignored you. Go ahead.
And have their own agenda. We need to keep in mind what's great about America. We have the freedom of expression. So we all have different points of views. And we need to respect that. And when you go into a workplace, you have to understand you work for your employer. And if your employer asks you not to demonstrate a certain behavior, you should follow suit and not demonstrate that behavior. It's all part of the job. We've all been a part of that. When I worked for others, I couldn't go into the workplace and wear whatever I wanted to wear. I couldn't say whatever I wanted to say, even though I wanted to. I couldn't do it. Now, as far as the fight, I'm behind it 100%. You know, we have to, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, it's been far too long for something to change to stop all the injustices that are occurring in this country. It's just terrible. However, it's not anything the NFL costs. I will be the first one to say, pick it all day against your employer. If they do anything that is treating you badly, okay? So if they have policies where they're discriminating against you or if they're not treating you fairly, yeah, go ahead and pick it like the unions pick it to get a pay increase. But if your employer isn't doing anything that is harming you, why are you hurting your employer? So when you, as an NFL player, when you hurt your employer, you're really taking money away from you, from the player. So I wanted to make sure I included that. And a lot of people talk about their constitutional right. You don't have that constitutional right when you work for someone. You have that constitutional right to walk away if you do not like the policies and the rules of that employer. And the last thing that I'll say, a lot of people don't realize it, okay? Because the NBA handles their situation differently. That same policy that everyone is screaming about, the NBA has the same policy.
Yes, absolutely.
NBA players they're asked to stand during the anthem. They cannot kneel.
But it's less of a slave mentality in the NBA than the NFL. But when you first said...
Oh, hold on. Why is it a slave mentality? I hear that as well. You have one of the greatest thing about America, you have choices. So if I work for PNC, if I didn't want to work for PNC, I make a decision to leave. I left.
This will be my counterpoint to that. Because when you first said it, that's the first time I really thought about that. And as you were talking, and I was like, yeah, that's true. Your employer, you don't want anybody protesting. But the only difference I would say is this. Do you do the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem at your work site? No. Okay, let me finish this. But they do the Pledge of Allegiance in the National Anthem at the work site, which you're calling the work site in the NFL, right?
It's part of the workplace.
As a school, they do the Pledge of Allegiance in the National Anthem. And guess what? Some people don't do it.
And I can tell, and let me say this, I can tell you, and Francine said
so
the same thing.
So that's the difference. If you come into my workplace, there's no Pledge of Allegiance or National Anthem.
The bottom line is, if you come into my workplace and you're causing me to lose millions of dollars, you're gone.
Well, that's different than your argument, though.
That's the same thing. That's why Kaepernick isn't in the league right now, because he is causing the NFL to lose money. And you're in business to make money. And why would you let someone make you lose money for something that you didn't cause? The NFL is not out there shooting our people.
Okay.
So why are we even dragging the NFL into this? It's wrong to drag the NFL into it. And they just decided to dedicate over $100 million. Am I right, Bill? To the cause.
Hey, they can over be part of the solution.
That's the solution. That's the path that we should take, work together with the NFL.
Hey, I agree.
I'm sorry. But don't you think these same owners sent a mixed message when they were out there locking arms and kneeling themselves?
Absolutely.
They did that in response to President Trump calling the players SOBs.
Okay, so if they felt that strongly that they could go out there and lock arms and take a knee, why can't they? Okay, and it's their business. I understand everything that you're saying. But to me, that's wrong, because as long as it benefits them and a message they want to put across, it's okay. But when the players want,
they
I understand that. But, you know, let's talk about principle and optics.
And it wasn't during the national anthem. When they took a knee, it wasn't during Jerry Jones. He took a knee. It wasn't during the national anthem. I could get on the NFL –
but
anthem
or not, because they still locked arms and they still took a knee to what mattered to them. But to me, they're passive on what matters to the players. It's their, like you said, they're the employee. They can do what they want. But for me, the optics, it's a mixed message.
And she played the cuz card.
Yeah.
And when they play the that backs you up. When you look, you can't say nothing else.
I just wanted to put out my comment.
When she plays the cuz card, you know what's coming next. It's getting ready to get rough up in here.
Hey.
When they call you cuz, so back it up.
We can have a good disagreement.
But we're going to have to get on to the next subject matter. But I do want to – go ahead, Francine. You want to add something?
No, I was just going to say, I'm glad they're contributing. But again, if the players didn't have – if the players weren't players, then we would not have this national dialogue about it, to be honest. Right. Because of all this killing that has happened – and it wasn't till Kaepernick, till he took a knee, that it really came to light. So I'm glad the NFL is doing what they are doing.
And he didn't even vote. So we need to hold everybody accountable.
Let's not bring that in right now.
Yeah,
to Francine's earlier point, I'm glad you all here tonight, because we have this argument every day. And that's probably why I mentally skipped over him. To Francine's earlier point, and to her secondary point just now, to Margot's point about the fact that it is offered in certain locations, I have said all along, and this is the bottom line for me, the revolution is on, and sacrifices have to be made. And
somebody's
all those
it.
Places you mentioned, you don't have a platform like these guys got.
It's they not
have,
their no, no, platform. Hold on. It's the owner's platform.
Turn,
That's
my
another
turn, my turn.
Misguided.
My turn. They have a platform that's worldwide and recognize and can constitute change. That's when you stand up and fight the opposition. Well, when you have that's why Francine says she's torn. Everybody's torn, because most of us, especially in our age group, was brought up the same way, to respect America, respect the flag, work hard, all that. But at the same time, you realize these guys have a platform. One of you mentioned something that I have long offered. If every black player in the NFL, you said a season, if they took one Sunday,
that's it.
If every black player in the NFL didn't show up
one Sunday,
it would send a rippling effect through this nation never heard of before. And it only takes one, because they can't fire everybody. I go further than that. If every NCAA football player didn't show up one Saturday, they would start getting paid.
But why the NFL? What about the NBA?
Because,
now, and that's, this is why I feel the NFL gets a bad rap.
The NBA
started there.
The NBA, they're the ones that have started the whole conversation. They have the same policy,
but it's there.
Oh, you mean the Anthem
presence of it.
They have the same policy, and no one is talking about the NBA is making their players stand.
Well, but the NFL situation is front and center. And they, like John Carlos and Tommy Smith, yes, a platform presented itself.
Yes.
You got to work it. Now, we're running out of time.
Go.
And this is good for another,
another subject matter. We need to get to LeBron.
But we're about to get to LeBron right now. So I led off with saying that I'm going to have to change my stripes and become a
Bron gold
if he goes to the Lakers, because I'm a Laker man from 1968.
Listen, if he goes to the purple and
took
gold.
Some time off for Michael, but then I'm back.
I got to go back to purple and gold because you'll remember this. I was a Rockette back in the day,
yeah,
Mr.
Rufus Brown.
So I got my gear already. So I'm good with the Cavaliers. Wherever LeBron goes, I go because we don't have a team.
Is he your greatest player of all time?
My favorite player. I don't go greatest, but I go favorite. My favorite player of all time, and you already know this because we argued about this before, is Allen Iverson. Number one, LBJ number two, Kevin Garnett number three.
Oh my goodness.
I go on, and I would say Kevin Garnett maybe number two. I go on personalities in the way that people play. That's why I like
okay.
players.
That's your list.
So
that's
I'm an
list.
AI Kevin Garnett LBJ fan.
So
and Russell
whole,
Westbrook as well. I'll
the
add
whole
him.
League is waiting on what LeBron's going to do. We had the NBA draft.
Yes.
And I don't think there were any major surprises, a couple. But the whole league is waiting to see if LeBron leaves Cleveland, there's going to be a rippling effect
shake up.
About the NBA. So, Cheryl, Francine, what are your thoughts about LeBron and the NBA?
Listen, I don't like Cleveland. But I like LeBron.
There you go.
So
okay.
I like Bron. Wherever Bron goes, I'm fine with. My thing was I wanted to make sure that Boston took a big L.
That's right. Kyrie.
And then after that, I wanted Cleveland to lose. So Bron, wherever he goes, I'm cool with that.
Okay.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
Hoops, what you got, Cheryl?
Not a big NBA fan.
All right.
Only because I'd rather see it live than on TV.
Okay.
And you have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, because that's where it's at.
Yes, I have.
That's where it's at.
And, but you even asked her.
Well, because
you know that.
You know, I didn't want.
This is Cheryl.
Well, Cheryl, get around. I know Cheryl. She,
but you know, lots of people that don't like the NBA, and generally it's white people in this area who say they are not NBA fans. But I always tell people,
I just had that argument.
You have to see an NBA game in person. And then come tell me you didn't just
enjoy
it. It's
athletes.
Not that I don't like the
greatest
NBA.
Greatest athletes on the planet.
Greatest
I
athletes.
Just would rather see it live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excitement watching it on TV. You have to be part of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, Kevin, you and I have go toe-to-toe every week about LeBron not being – LeBron doesn't make my top five, as I said.
Well,
but,
you're the only one, Bill.
Well, I am usually in the minority in that regard. But I'm going to tell you this. Now, you'll appreciate this, and I – have said repeatedly on this show, for those who are not in the know, all you have to do is Google the entirety of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and you have zero argument. Statistically unapproachable. 3 years of high school basketball, never lost a game. 3 state championships, 3 straight MVPs.
I love it.
His freshman UCLA team
and an activist.
Is the only team to beat the varsity UCLA team. 3 straight NCAA titles, 3 MVPs there, 6 NBA rings, 4 MVPs,
his
all-time
manager.
Leading scorer.
Yeah, I don't think anyone.
Dr. J.
That's his manager.
Dr. J is in my top. Is my
He's my number
five.
Four. He's my number four.
He's my number five. But go ahead, Kev.
I know we're running short on time, so I want an opinion on Serena Williams.
Oh, we got to get to Serena.
Her losing – her ratings,
wrong.
Rankings, excuse me, her losing her ranking because she decided to have a baby. And I was just like, from a woman's perspective, to see what they have to say.
Okay. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, as a woman and as a mother myself, we can do it all. Now, her bounce back was on point. To get back out on that court. She played pregnant. Nobody knew it. So why should she lose her ranking? She's come back. She's strong. She's effective. Unfortunately, she got hurt. But she should not have lost her rankings.
If she didn't lose games, why should she lose rankings?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She had her baby, maternity leave, jumped back on the court. She's good to go. I feel like she should still have a ranking too.
What is the what does the tennis association, how do they justify it? What is how do they explain it? What is their justification?
Here it is. Wimbledon. I'm just gonna stick with Wimbledon because the French Open is over. Wimbledon is coming up next week. Their seedings generally follow the WTA, World Tennis Association, World Rankings, which protects players out that are out due to injury, but they do not protect the players for pregnancy. However, the committee can make changes if necessary to produce a more balanced draw. Now, the U.S. Open will update a seeding policy for a player returning from pregnancy. Us. The United States Tennis Association president, Katrina Adams, stated previously. So, again, the U.S. Open is opening it up for a possible change. But Wimbledon is in the process of deciding now,
you know what,
if she should have her ranking or not. The French Open told her no. She was actually in the 400s for a ranking.
That's ridiculous because women didn't just start playing tennis.
Right.
Okay. And all the women that came before Serena who had babies, and some came back, some didn't. So this is just ridiculous. You know, she's one of the top players. She should not have lost her ranking. You know, she should
not. She was number one.
She should not feel like because she had a baby that it should have been a negative. I mean,
workplace discrimination.
Let me ask you this. Did Sharapova lose her rankings when they found her doping?
That's a good question. Mm. I'm not sure.
She would
I'm not
to.
Sure.
That's a very good
question.
But
we had the same conversation a couple weeks ago. We actually had Joe Washington in here during the French Open. Mm-hmm. And I argued with Bill and Joe because I felt it was wrong as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just believe when it comes to a family friendly environment,
yes,
you should do everything you can as an employer, and you shouldn't penalize, especially in tennis. You know, tennis is a young sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's fair for women to have to delay starting a family in fear of losing their ranking.
Right.
And that's the point I made two weeks ago.
Right.
Well, I don't know that Joe was against your position. I think he was stating what they said.
No,
I
think both of you stated if you don't lose it because, I mean, when you're injured, if you lose it,
well,
it's in the same category.
That's what Joe offered, and I think he was offering it based on what.
Well, you offer that as well.
Well, I didn't because I really don't. I really believe what you say. I believe that she should not lose her ranking. So you may have me, but Joe offered from a position of what he thought they were offering.
But
as
in a corporation, that's a lawsuit.
And yeah, that's what I was mentioning.
Yeah, no, I
and Francine, you heard it
because back in the day when women would go on maternity leave, they would lose
that's
a position.
Losing money,
losing ranking, lose your position,
money.
You know, weren't able to get or couldn't come back. So definitely, Cheryl. I mean, and again, women have been in the sport of tennis for too long for this never to have been addressed. Or is it because it's Serena?
Well, let me
because they've dominated so much. Is it because of Serena?
Let me ask a question. I haven't. What has Serena said? Because I haven't heard her comment.
She's stepping up big time. She said it's wrong and they need to change it. McEnroe is in her corner. He's pushing to have it changed. So, again, the majority of the players that I've seen actually mentioned that this is totally wrong.
So the motivation now becomes Serena taking over the world. That's what it's going to do. It's going to fuel her fire, and she's going to take over the world.
She's about
again.
To win every.
Yeah, she's
just
about
to get the Grand Slam.
Yeah, she's about to go ballistic on him.
And check this out, if I can just add, from the French Open, as far as what McEnroe said, the first day Williams played in the French Open last month, ratings on NBC were 50% more than a year ago.
There you go.
It's like Tiger Woods when he came back. All of a sudden, it's top of the ratings. Forget the fact that she has won 23 majors and what she brings to the table. So we talk there about the go. Tiger effect. Mm-hmm. We have the Serena effect as well.
Mm-hmm. She needs to leverage it.
Well, now, that being said, I want to get your opinion as we come to a close on our final segment. I want to get your complete opinion of Tiger in terms of how he went out. Because as women, you know that he went out in a blaze of bullets relative to sleeping around with 17 different women.
Oof. So, wasn't it?
And then the state of affairs for Tiger now. So your opinion on Tiger?
Well, it looks like he's an overcomer, like we all want to be. I'm not one to bury somebody when they're down, which it seemed like the media definitely buried him. And, you know, I think Tiger's going to rise again. He's already started to ascend and to rise and to, you know, place in a couple tournaments. So I'm hoping his ascension as well. Because, you know, if I was – I would never be in his situation. But if I was in a situation where I was at the top and I went to the bottom, I would hope people would be pulling for me and cheering for me. So right. He's got my support.
Right. Well, I agree with Margo. I hope he's gotten it together. I hope he's gotten past – his problems, whatever he did, sleeping with women, excuse me, that's between him, his wife, and his higher power. I don't care. It doesn't affect me in either way. But the fact that he was having problems with substance abuse, I hope he's overcome that and he can find his way back on, you know, the course and do what he does. And I hope to see his little sister come up too, because she's out there too, being a little beast.
Her niece? I mean, his niece?
His little sister.
His niece.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, Tiger, you know, in the beginning, there was Tiger, and I was a fan. Tiger got beside himself.
Yes,
I got
he did.
Off the fan.
Get off the wagon.
I got off the wagon.
Out of the boat.
And then I didn't like, you know, see, I'm going to go there. Trev, you could take this out if you want. When you get in trouble.
Uh-oh, I know what you're about to say.
Now you need all of our support. Now you black.
Okay.
When you wasn't in trouble, you was looking past us. So I'm still feeling a little some kind of way.
Well, we ain't taking
so
that
as
out.
Kevin, so as Kevin said, you know, Tiger back. Well, when he's fully back, then I'll be there. So I'm a little fan weather, you know, fan. Because I'm still getting
fair
past
weather.
I'm black.
You still got some issues. You still got some issues.
Conveniently
see,
black.
When I walk in the door, they know I'm black. I don't get a chance to say mm-hmm. I'm some different, something I never heard of. Because, you know, I'm dark like you, Bill. So when what? I come in the store, they know who I am.
We're not scratching that out. That's relevant. That stays in. That's all good. Well, listen, just one more quick question before we close out real quick.
You keep saying that.
Well, but this is important because Kevin – not at this end, and I think it's very important as women and as mothers, at least two of the three. Very quickly, would you let your child play football based on all the concussion issues we now have?
And, oh, wow, this is great. This is a great story because I've actually raised.
Don't have time for a story.
I'm sorry. I've helped raise money for the Eric Pelley Scholarship Foundation, which was a student who passed away in my where I teach at. And so I've talked to doctors. I'm pretty educated on that subject, and I would not allow a child of mine to play football until their bones and their body were old enough, which I would say probably would be 9th or 10th grade, and then it would be their decision if they wanted to continue to do it, because then it becomes their life. I would support them after 9th or 10th grade. I would not have them play miniature football at all, because those little mini concussions over and over and over just add up, and you get some of the things we're seeing in NFL now.
And give a shout out to where you're an educator at. I think that's important. Give a shout
I'd
out.
I'd rather not.
Okay, that's okay.
Not
no, that's okay. Go ahead.
I'm with Margo on that. I think that midget and mighty mites and all that are too young. If they want to play football, it should be like of the flag variety, where it's not full contact, to give these children a chance to grow, develop, let their minds fully form before they take all that full force contact.
Cool, cool.
You know, when I saw the concussion movie, that I couldn't watch football for quite some time, and that was a big impact. And one of my ultimate players that I liked also was Webster. excuse me, yeah, Webster, for the Steelers, and seeing that and not understanding back then what had happened to him, and seeing that movie was, you know, so I wouldn't want my, now knowing all this information, I wouldn't want my child to play until they got so much older.
Very, very short snippet of history. I met Mike Webster in that truck that was in the movie. I met him outside the stadium in that truck. It's just planted in my mind, but it was long before his demise. Well, as we approach the end of our show, I have to, you got anything? I got to go.
Yeah, just one comment. A lot of people don't realize it with concussions and sports, believe it or not, football is the number four sport for concussions. A lot of people think is number one.
Soccer, lacrosse.
It's actually behind girls' soccer.
Girls' soccer.
Yeah.
Girls' soccer, and then girls' volleyball and girls' basketball. And then you have football.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can tell you this. We've talked about it on the show before. I've had four concussions playing football, and I you may have heard me say at the Hall of Fame induction, and I jokingly say those are the ones I remember. Mm-hmm. But clearly two of the four I remember, and I can remember being hit – in a game on a Saturday and not remembering anything until the next Saturday. But my roommate,
that's a major concussion.
My roommate remembers everything in that week for me. But that being said, be mindful that we have been brought to you by the New Pittsburgh Courier, Urban Media Radio, Urban Media Today, Urban Media Today Talk Sports. And Kev's going to tell you one more time in just a moment how to find us. But I do want to send a shout out to Achieving Greatness Incorporated. We're taking kids horseback riding on Saturday. So if you hear this tomorrow on Wednesday, we're going riding again on Saturday. Call 412-628-4856. 412-628-4856. If you have a youngster, boy or girl between ages 8 and 14, if you want to go horseback riding and be a part of that. And for all you ladies, be mindful that coming up on July 7th, it's a fashion show line dance extravaganza at the Racquet Club in Monroeville. We're going to be showcasing some of the outstanding models of our area. Roland Ford and his line dance crew come in with all the line dances. And it's vendors and music and food and drinks. And again, call 412-628-4856. We want to thank these lovely, intelligent, well-versed, sports-minded ladies for coming in, being a part of Soul Take Champions Live, and I'll let Kev take it out as we remind you that champions aren't born, they're made. But how do they find us tomorrow, Kev?
Yes, they can find us each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on urbanmediatoday.com.
And they need to be reminded about our partner in Showtime.
Every Saturday is Trev's show. Urban Media Today talks sports every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.
And as we always say, remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul Take.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
In your hand, you have $19.99. What could you do with that? You can fill up your gas tank, stop by a local coffee shop. You may need to add a little bit more to that. Maybe a matinee ticket to the movies. Matinee, though. What about subscribing to UrbanMediaToday.com? No, think about it. For just $19.99, you'll receive exclusive podcasts, interviews, entertainment updates, sports reports, and more. A VIP subscription to Urban Media Today is more than just a magazine subscription. It's access to the urban lifestyle. UrbanMediaToday.com is your only source for HBCU sports. Plus, you have direct access to awesome prizes like gift cards, swag, concert tickets, and your $19.99 supports another minority-owned business. That's pretty cool, right? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com right now and subscribe for just $19.99 a year. Not a month, not a week, but a year. You've always wanted to be a VIP, right? Well, here's your chance. Subscribe today for just $19.99 at UrbanMediaToday.com.